You know, if you take them out and you spank it real good, and it seems like they don't get it. But if you take the board of education and apply it to the seal of understanding,
thank you for tuning in to the Telling of His Goodness broadcast. We pray you were inspired, blessed, and encouraged from hearing the Word of God today. If you would like a copy of my book, Telling of His Goodness, you may phone me at 318-305-6965. You may like me on Facebook, connect with me on Google Plus or Twitter. May God bless you until we meet again at the same time next week.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio. This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord in Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, mama, and tell me what he's been to you.
KYT listeners, help us welcome 100.1 FM in Lake Charles, Louisiana.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Glory to God. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed in reverence to God. Father, our God, we thank you in Jesus' wonderful name for this another wonderful privileged honor to be in your house tonight. Thank you for the Holy Ghost and his ability to explain your word. We welcome his presence and his power. And God, we thank you that as you speak to us tonight, you will give us illumination and revelation, not only about your word, but about us. And then empower us so that we might be able to practice the principles learned for profit and give you all the praise and glory that you so richly deserve. And we'll be ever so careful to give you the glory that none other can even seek in the process of you continually developing us and defining us and refining us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Give the Lord a mighty hand of praise. Now that was a good hand, but that wasn't a mighty hand. Give him a mighty hand. He's worthy. Amen. Now, I want to thank the folk that weren't so tired that quickly sat down, like some of the others, on giving God praise. I mean, I just think he's worthy. Let's just stand back up on our feet together and give him some mighty praise. Hallelujah. You don't know what a blessing it is to be here until you can't be here.
Glory to God. All right, you might be seated.
Hallelujah. Bless his holy name. It's certainly good to be here. Good to see you. And I want to start on off tonight dealing with what I know is very important to people, whether you're saved or unsaved, whether you're in the sacred community or the secular community. It doesn't matter what walk of life you're in, what culture, what country. What I share with you tonight will make the difference in whether you succeed or fail. What I share with you tonight will make the difference in how you're received or rejected. What I share with you tonight will make the difference regardless of your color or your educational background or your financial status. And it is so simple, and yet we deal with it on a daily basis. And it was certainly pricked within my spirit that we need to just check our issue of concern tonight, individually, collectively, and corporately as a church, because again, that we exude in this arena makes the difference in whether or not people even want to be a part of this fellowship, makes a difference in whether folk even want to have fellowship personally with you. And it really has to do with how you see yourself and how you are seen because of what you project from yourself. And I'm talking about attitude. Attitude. Say attitude.
Attitude.
Now, I want to talk tonight about attitude, whether you have a victor or victim's mentality. And your attitude will reflect it in the daily choices that you make, the daily situations that you encounter, because the reality is your attitude that has to do with your posture. It has to do with the posture of a person. It has to do with the mental and moral disposition of a person. Attitude is that unseen in the natural, but seen effectively. You can't see attitude other than the effects it has on you and on others who are in fellowship, relationship, or connection with you. And most times when you use the word attitude, it's usually used in a negative connotation. Folks say, "You got attitude." And then this is what you say, "I ain't got no attitude." No, you have an attitude, but obviously it's a negative attitude. It's an attitude that causes some discomfort or disharmony in the fellowship or the association. And so you're going to also learn that your attitude determines whether or not you're a victim of circumstances or you are a victor of circumstances or sources. And that's why it's so important. Now, let me ask you a question. Have you ever gone to a store somewhere and a sales clerk or someone tried to assist you and they had attitude? Now, it just depends on how displeasing the attitude was. If it was just unacceptable by any human standards, you tell them, "Listen, can I see the manager?" Or you tell them, "Look, you can keep this," and you go on or whatever, because that attitude is what reflects, even in that individual, the whole outlook on the place that you have frequented. I mean, if one employee treats you gently, the whole store gets the reputation for it. Isn't that right? I mean, you can have somebody in your family who represents your family, and somebody meet them, and they may not want to read the rest of your family because of the reputation or the attitude, be it negative, or they would want to reach if that person is positive. And you're going to find out, again, attitude makes all the difference with why some of us have never gotten a promotion. Might be intelligent, may be capable, may be able, but the attitude was so bad. See, I don't care how good you are. If the attitude is messed up, folks,
sometimes say, well, you know what? Yeah, they're good, but I just can't deal with that attitude. You know, some of y'all are quiet because y'all might have attitude. But that's all right. It's a good message to deal with tonight. How do I see myself? That's important because one of the scriptures, and there were so many that I went through, but the Spirit just wanted me to kind of stay with this one particular story just to highlight so many points that I had in this one story that dealt with attitude that determined whether a person was a victim or a victor. Now, I want you to turn to Numbers chapter 13. Verse 1 through 33, we're not going to read all of those verses, but they are there for you to go over in your own study time and get the full effect of the story. But I want to lift out certain points for us to ponder in the study to help support this study that we're doing tonight on attitude. How do I see myself? Am I a victim or am I a victor? What is most important in determining attitude is self-worth, self-esteem, self-appreciation, self-preservation, and more importantly than all of these things and others that add to the adjusting of attitudes is our relationship with God. Now, if we really have a good relationship with God and we study His Word and we are connected with Him in an intimate sense, then we will find out that God, by His Word, will adjust our attitude for us. Now, how many of you know that we need a daily attitude adjustment? Because, you know, you can wake up just feeling, didn't get enough sleep. You can just wake up and nobody said nothing to you, just you messed up with you. And you just get up crabby. Well, good morning. You know, you really need to get the attitude adjusted quick because you can start things rolling in a bad way just by your own attitude. You can wake up, the sun can be shining beautifully. I mean, it's a beautiful garden, birds are singing outside your window. I mean, everything going right. But if your attitude is wrong, it just as well be storming outside and things going wrong and all the rest of it, because you never will appreciate, nor will you get the benefit of what God has gifted to you, granted to you, and given to you, because your attitude won't allow you to enjoy it. Some folk don't understand that it's not what you have that causes you to enjoy it. It's the attitude about what you have that causes you to enjoy it. See, because this is what you need to know, that while you may not be, you know, where you want to be now, if your attitude is, I'm going to get there one day, but what I'm doing in the process is enjoying the journey until I get there, then you don't have to defer all your enjoyment until you reach the place. Because I've got news for you. You're going to discover that when you reach your destination, many times it ain't all it's been cracked up to be. And you miss so much time traveling to where you're trying to get to. And if you don't enjoy that time, chances are it's going to diminish the enjoyment of the destination itself, especially if it falls short of your expectation. Now listen to this, because I want you to see this. When you look at verse 1, chapter 13, it says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel." Now, all of these men that were sent were leaders. All of these men were heads of their families. They were respected men. They were the leaders who were sent from among as representatives of each one of these tribes. There were 12 men sent representing the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, the reality was that God wanted leaders who were supposed to be able to give leadership, give instruction, give direction, give encouragement to those who followed them to see the plan that He had given to Israel. Now, He had given them this gift. Keep in mind, keep the focus. It was a gift given. All He wanted them to do was to go and see what it was they were about to inherit. All He wanted them to do was go out and preview the blessings that were on the way. You see, one of the things that you can appreciate if you can really get this understanding is, if I can get a vision, if I can get a view of what I'm going to get, then I don't have to wait till I get it to start rejoicing. In other words, there is a spirit of expectation that builds knowing that I have this on the way. If I have this on the way, even though I don't get it today, every day is filled with excitement and expectation, plus the enjoyment of knowing it is mine. Now, again, it's just like you've ordered something off TV, you put your credit card up, it went through, and they told you it's coming. Well, now they tell you maybe 2 weeks or so, you know, whatever. So after the 2 week period of time come, if it's delayed an extra 2, 3, 4 days, the comfort still is in knowing my credit card was approved. I know the thing is on the way. Something just done hung it up, but it's on the way. I should get it any day now. And even from the moment you hang up the phone, the expectation begins to build. But it's building on the fact of a certainty of that you're going to receive. Not a maybe, not a hope, not a think, but on a certainty that you're going to get this. Now, again, the vision of that, the reality of that, the scope of that is knowing again that God wants us to be able to live in faith, live in expectation, and not have to wait just for the actual arrival for things to be a blessing. Whether you're talking about a blessing or a deliverance, if you know it's on the way, then you should not defer the joy or the praise that goes along with what you're expecting. Now look again at this situation, because I want you to see this. In this word that we have before us, there are three points that I want to focus on. One is assignment, two is acknowledgement, and three is assumption. You're going to discover that in the scriptures we're going over, that these men had something before them that should have caused all of them to respond the way only two of the 12 responded. First of all, when you look at this word, assignment, you're going to realize that our assignment reveals our work, but our work reveals our worth or our worthiness. Now, first of all, when you're given an assignment, it is usually given in proportion to that you're able to do. Most folk who are handing out assignments, if they know anything about you, they know your abilities, they know your inabilities, and so assignments are given or granted based upon your ability to effectively complete the assignment. God told Moses to choose the leaders of all of these groups. This was a direct command from God to Moses to choose these men. They were not there by accident, and you're going to find all of this out a little later. But what I need you to see and focus on is the fact that the assignment was quite specific. And in the assignment, you're going to discover that again, that their work that was cut out for them was assigned for them and also given to them because God knew that they could accomplish it. Now, let me throw this out to you parenthetically. If ever God hands you an assignment, no matter how difficult it is or how unusual it may be, God has also assigned success to this assignment even when he assigned you. Now, what you're going to have to realize is that obviously you can't do it in yourself and of yourself, so you're going to have to need him to complete the assignment, which is a part of the plan. Secondly, you're going to find out that the assignment was ordered and ordained. Because while he himself, and we're going to deal with this a little more in depth, but you're also going to see that while he deals with them in this way and how he moves this and ministers this and he controls this, was so to watch their faith in the process of the assignment. See, there are some things that I think you need to realize about what God assigns each of us to do. Sometimes it's not so much to prove that God can do what he said he can do, but to see whether or not you'll be faithful to do what he's told you to do. Now, first of all, get this message clear in your head. It was a gift. You don't work for a gift. A gift is given. That's grace. That's given to you. If you're working for it, it's not a gift. It's gratuity. I'll catch that on the other end. Now, he said, this is yours. This is your, all I want you to do is go see it. That's like somebody saying, listen, I'm going to give you a brand new car. I'm going to tell you where it is. I want you to get it. It won't be able to be delivered until so. And you too lazy to go and see it and check it out and go through it and all the rest of that. Do you think you deserve it? I'm glad I'm not God. I say it all the time. But listen at this. The assignment, because of how God viewed it, was an outstanding assignment. But the way they viewed it, it was an outrageous assignment. Now, here's where you're going to have to see yourself as a victor or a victim. And you go right back through this work and you realize that the assignment was given by God, but God knew that they could handle the work. But here's where attitude came into the picture. When they did not see themselves as God saw them, their attitude was a victim's mentality and a defeated attitude. And so as that was the reality, everything they saw, though it was true, they viewed it in a negative mindset. Yeah, that's right. That is good. That is true. That's all that. But yeah, God, you're right. He did say that. It did come back. But, and you got to watch out for those kind of buts, because they will always turn blessings into burdens. They were still going to get it because God ordered it and ordained it, but it was going to be delayed because their minds and their attitudes were so wrong. Now, I want you to see again. Under acknowledgement, three things happen. When you see how, and let me go to the text just to bring you up to date right quick. When you look at how all of this came into play, verse 4 through 16 gives you the names of the men and the tribes they represented. But verse 17 says, and Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said unto them, get you up this way southward and go up into the mountain and see the land. Listen at that now. And see the land, what it is, and the people that dwelleth therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not, and be, listen at this, ye of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes, which was about the time of July, August. That was the first time of the first ripe grapes, and then it continued on to September, October. So this was around July, August, when the first ripe grapes came out. So this pictures you at about what time of the year this was. Now, interestingly enough, the Lord has given them their assignment, has told them what they needed to do, has given them the reality of what all they had to do. God, did you see anywhere in the assignment where God said, fight? Did you see anywhere in the assignment where he said, have a confrontation with the folk who are on the land right now? Did you see any place in the word where God's assignment told them to go up and tell the people you won't work right? They didn't want to deal with the folk. No, all God wanted them to do was go look at what he was going to give them. Now, here's what, again, you've got to keep in focus and keep in mind as you walk through this. As you look at the assignment and understand the assignment and see it, and know how simple it was, because number one, God assigned the work, but then God ordered it, and then God ordained it. If God ordained it, then what he ordered has got to come to pass. Because if it is ordained of God, then it is providential by divine source and power. So then notice this, if that is the case, then God saw this as an outstanding mission. Outstanding. Why? Because what he was doing was trying to encourage them, but what they allowed to happen because they did not hold on to the word and they looked at what they saw, they then became discouraged and saw that as an outrageous mission. Now, too many times you miss your blessing because you're not holding on to what God said. You're looking at what you see. If God says it's yours, it ain't your business at this point in time, at all of the encumbrances that may be tied up or connected with it. The fact that God said it is yours is His to put it in your hand. It's His to deliver it. You don't know what He's going to do with those who occupy it. Now, that's His business. That is not yours. And too many times we don't, if God said that promotion is yours, you say, yeah, God, but this person ain't going to retire. They may not retire, but they may expire. Y'all ain't getting that. Excuse me. You don't know. You don't know. God may open up another door for them somewhere else the very next week, and they give their resignation, thus creating the, you don't know. You don't need to take your mind into trying to figure out God's business when it seems like it's hard to handle your own business. So again, now, if God has all of this in control, let's look at what happened here. Under acknowledgement, because this is where we're going to see them coming back. They searched the land. They searched the land. They saw what was in the land according to the text, everything that they said about it. But look again at what the Bible says, verse 25. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran, to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and to unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. Now they come back with acknowledgments. And what are they acknowledging? Everything God said is true. It is real. It's just like God said. But yes, it does flow with milk and honey. We saw it. Yes, there are beautiful walled cities and beautiful strong holds, which were beautiful homes, well constructed. Yes, there are beautiful big old orchards and patches and vineyards and all of that there. And matter of fact, we brought back some proof that everything God said was so. But now the acknowledgement was to say, God, you weren't lying about what was there. But listen at this, when they entered the butt in there, what they were saying is, you told a half-truth, God. Matter of fact, and listen at this, and I want to throw this out parenthetically. If the Lord didn't bring up the fact that the sons of Anak, the giants, and the inhabitants there were great men of stature, and that the houses had residents, and that the cities had armies, and that the place was protected and occupied, and the folk didn't have no intention of leaving, there was their perception as they watched the busyness of the day-to-day activities for 40 days. They conjured up in their mind, these people ain't about to leave this place no time soon. But what they forgot to understand was that if God didn't mention them in the promising of them the gift He was going to give them, it was because they really didn't matter. They were insignificant to the promise. And so if God did not mention them, then they shouldn't have worried about them. Are y'all listening to me tonight? You see, what God failed to say to them was, I've got this thing fixed. But because He was going to give, how could He give them all of that without taking care of the present residents who occupied all of this? So they must have figured, yeah, God saw what was there. And He told us He was going to give it to us, but we must have to fight for it because I know these folk ain't walking away from it. Now, here's the problem. They had proof of everything God promised them, God said to them. They saw it. Verse 26 says, let's go back there again. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and what? Showed them the fruit of the land. So now, next point is, they saw. They saw. Look at verse 27. And they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, hallelujah to the Lamb. And this is the fruit or the proof of it. Look at verse 28 now. Nevertheless, the people be